I was at the bowling alley. Dude, I caught major error, bro.
Major error?
Major error.
Like slid on those bowling alley shoes.
So you know there's that line.
Yes.
Right before,
it
right?
Gets slippery as hell.
Yeah. Right, so I always use things as a learning experience after I fell on my ass. So I got a little close. You know, I'm always competitive, so I was trying to get like
as close as I can.
Without crossing the line. But sure enough, I crossed that line and my feet just started going with it. And I try to gain my balance and boom, bro.
I'd love to see the footage.
Bro, I got up and I'm like 260, bro. I'm not the lightest guy in the
place. Yeah, he didn't come down like a feather.
No,
yeah.
You heard that, and boom. Real business.
Whatever your situation is currently is not your forever situation.
That's really what real business owners is, man. Like, we don't care where you come from, where are you going?
Our goal and our job is to reduce the mistakes that you have to make or the money that you have to lose.
You want to be an entrepreneur, you want to be successful, don't give up.
You learn, adjust, and continue to move forward.
Welcome back to the Real Business Owners Podcast with myself, Trevor Cowley, as always, Kel Goodman.
What's up?
Guys, today we have a certified badass. He literally showed me the badge this morning when I met him at the gym. It does say certified, and it does say badass.
Oh, I didn't get to see that.
You didn't?
You got to whip that out for me.
He only shows certain people. So
I got to get a full workout in with you guys first. I can't just be in the gym. I got to work out with you.
So he dubbed me certified after we got done working out, and he showed me this certificate.
Are you guys working out in the morning before we...
Are we?
Yeah, that would be a pretty early workout.
Yeah, let's go.
So we got to be there by like 7:45.
Well, dude, I've already had two or three people. Hey, let's get it in. Where are you guys working at? You know, so because people already saw that.
Yeah. OG, well, I got to take advantage of that 24-hour pass, bro. So I got to get there before 6 a.m.
Hey, it ain't cheap. It ain't a $5 gym. It's like $20 or $25 to get in for a day pass at the gym that we work at. So. We have Stephen Pedroza on the podcast today. This individual has trusted us with his mind to a certain extent. You know, he joined the mastermind, Real Business Owners Mastermind recently. Flew into town. You flew in. You didn't drive in, right?
No, I flew in, brother.
Yeah, flew into town. We're linking up tomorrow and Saturday for the first two-day meetup for the mastermind. We have a kick-ass couple days planned. But to be quite honest with you, this individual, when he decided that he was going to join the mastermind, he wanted to meet us personally.
Yeah.
We happen to be in San Diego, you know. Exactly. And the only reason why I want to share the story is because it tells a lot about
you. Yeah, you need like an hour and a half drive away from where we were at.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Like, I want to meet these individuals, shake their hands, you know, all that good stuff, you know. And I appreciated that that's something that you wanted to do, because I would love the ability to do that with every single member that joined the mastermind, to be able to have that connection.
Oh, yeah.
Just on day one, right? Yeah. Being able to shake your hand, look you in the eyes, and have kind of that 10-15 minute conversation. Obviously, you were busy. We were busy. We had to peel off and kind of do our own things.
But, yeah.
You know, just getting to know you, even just in the short time that I have, you know, I'm very, very impressed with you, just so that you know that. I mean, I want to dig into some of your stories. And,
absolutely.
Because there's definitely some lessons in there, even just, you know, the almond thing today that we talked about.
Oh, yeah.
The fact that you saw a need in your industry because you kind of felt a little bit of a pinch. So you created a business to solve the pinch that you were feeling and made it available to other people in your industry, which is now its own income source, right? So there's definitely some cool stories to extract from this individual, and we'll make sure that we do that today. But tell them a little bit about, you know, where you grew up, where you're from. You know, you are a father of three, soon to be four, because he hates odd numbers people.
When my wife gets this podcast, she's like, whoa, slow your roll, pump the brakes, bro.
Yeah.
But, you know, once again, just want to, you know, say thanks to Trevor and Kale and Corey. You know, that meetup in San Diego was fantastic. I know you guys for years, man.
Yeah. It means a lot to us, too, because even though it's a transaction, it should be more than just a transaction. Like,
people need to,
that's what makes, you know, relationships so powerful, like meet up.
Yeah.
Like,
we talked about that this morning at the gym about relationship capital and how that is like way, way, way more important than anything else that exists in the world today, because everything that we've ever done has been based upon a relationship, right?
Yeah.
What are we doing this weekend? We're developing a bunch of relationships. And what did we trade for that? We traded money for that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And so you trade money, you put yourself in the right rooms. to create relationships with other individuals because you understand and value how important those things are. And that's why you're an individual of success because you start doing the things that successful people do. It's not if, it's just when.
And when it's going to happen.
And we're not talking about a little success. We're talking about mass success because you're laying down that day's brick in a perfect way every day, and you're doing all the right things. And that's why you just know, looking at you and a lot of the people that are in any sort of mastermind, just in general, just that step alone says a lot about that individual, that they're willing to invest into themselves. So it just says a lot about you, right?
Exactly. And then, like, you know, just to kind of, you know, of course, you know, Steve Pedroza again, but, you know, I grew up in Pomona, California. You know, I don't know my father. You didn't grow up with my dad. You know, I had my mom, you know, that she was there, and then my stepdad and things like that, you know. And like what we were talking this morning in the gym, you know, stepdad held me accountable. You know, at one point, I didn't like him for years, you know, just because, you know, he's supposed to teach me.
There was a standard.
There was a standard that I was like, man, this dude's just being a dick, man. He just wants me to do X, Y, Z. And I'm just like, I ain't with that, you know? But you know what? Years go on, you know, I was a knucklehead like every other person and grew up in different environment. And another thing that we talked about today is letting people know that small book that's not been opened all the way of successful people do have bad histories. They have been through the system. They have been, you know, poor. They have worked, you know, and they had, you know, closed bank accounts, all these different things.
You know, I would actually think that more successful people have had that than not, right? Like if you took 100 successful people, I would bet you 50% or greater has dealt with some of the things that you just said. Yeah. And I believe that success, personal success, they don't have a whole lot of options. Personal success is one because you have the ability to control it. But if you're giving your control to somebody else and I give you my resume, I'm hoping that you'll look past this little smudge that I have a past or that there was a problem or there was a hiccup. You know, that I did a stint of 3 years and made some bad choices or 5 years. And that follows you for a long time. I've had shit that's followed me for a long time from some bad decisions.
Still is.
You know, the whole fucking flight shit, you know, that derailed my motivation there, you know.
One of our state licenses was just the other day was bringing up some shit I did in 2007.
And my DUIs from 14 years ago, right? So that shit does haunt you. Yeah. So we, to a certain extent, we're like, if nobody's going to give you a chance at a high level, I'm going to create my own chance at a high level, right?
You know, and I think to go back on that is, a lot of people have experience, but I really let it out. You know, it's normal. It's a normal norm, you know, and, you know, so I, you know, I did that, you know, and I work construction, you know, with family members. I was always a hardworking kid, you know,
work ethic
was never a problem. At home though, at home, I didn't want to do anything, you know, everyone's like, hey, Steve, come over, clean my lawn, do whatever you have to do. And they're like, okay, you do it here, but you do it. I was like, you know, I just, you know, it was just
my massage therapist giving massages at home.
Yeah, exactly.
Ain't happening, bro.
Yeah, you know what?
They're sick of giving them massages. That's what they do.
Yeah, and then like my first mentor, and I was talking about, you know, sports. You know, I transferred high schools to go play for, you know, Coach Brooke, and he's a big, famous coach in the Inland Empire. You know, and I went out there very old school, bro. Like, you know, he's slapping you on the head, doing things you can't do nowadays, you know.
Smack you on the head, dummy. You know better
than that.
Yeah,
you know, but act like you're a winner. You know, you scored a touchdown or whatever you did. We want championships, but act like you won one. You know, act presentable. And, you know, and that's where my work ethic and team role kind of started from. And then from there, you know, I went to the district, you know, pension. You think about like, oh, I'm going to get in a district, work a pension. That was a good job, you know. So I started as an entry level. I was getting paid more on the outside as on the construction field, but I went as a custodian. And I have a funny little story. I don't think I haven't mentioned this before, but my first real, real job was at Scandia. So it was like a theme park.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a theme park.
Is that right off the I-15? In Rancho.
Yeah, Rancho, right? Yeah. So I worked there at 16 years old, and I was proud. I was in charge of go-karts and not all this stuff. But it's funny because maybe like a week passed by. It was on the weekend, and my supervisor, hey, I need you to go clean up. And I was like, I ain't no custodian. Like, I ain't cleaning up. Like, what are you talking about? Yeah. I'm in charge of go-karts. I'm a go-kart guy, yeah. man, you know? So, and
I'm the top dog around here. All the kids love me.
Exactly. You know what? And it's funny how the world works because I end up leaving there, of course. And, you know, 2-3 years later, I was a custodian at a district.
Mm.
You know, and now, you know,
the universe says,
yo, is that a little karma?
You know what?
You need a little humbling, my man. Exactly. Here you go. Yes, you are.
Exactly.
And here's the opportunity.
You know, so I, you know, I was a custodian. I worked in multiple departments, man. I knew one of my main mentors, and he's still my mentor to this day. And I'm just like, hey, I ask questions. My ADD kicks in. I'm like, hey, how do you do that? Why? Why are you doing that? Like, well, just that way. No, why? I need to know why. You
that's
know,
why, and, that's why he reminds me so much of Jimbo. Like,
oh yeah, yeah.
He does, is very, yeah. He's just like you a lot, dude.
Bro, yeah. Very, very, mentally like wanting to understand things
every
to
detail.
A different degree
a questions.
Than what most
that's
people
a superpower,
want.
Dude.
No, that what yeah. most, yeah. most people just, you know, kind of give me the gist
yeah, give me,
of it.
Yeah, just give me yeah, the gist. Yeah.
Give me
going.
The fluff, right? Yeah. That's the common person. And we, and again, the fluff is enough for the common person, but yeah. he's like, nah. Let's open this bitch up.
Exactly.
What's inside,
and
right?
that's what I try to do. And then, you know, a lot of times, you know, my mentor, that, hey, you're too aggressive. Like, slow down. I was, you know, I was a little bulldog, man, you know. and I was like, everyone was knew me as like the street fighter. You know, people used to nickname street fighter because, you know, I'm a, you know, if you have a problem, you know, we'll go across the street, you know, if we had to do that. But that was old, you know, yeah, and then yeah, I had yeah. to figure out how to maturity because when I became a supervisor, I had to know how to deal with people. And I can't just be like punching Let's you and punching it. You. Yeah, it ain't going to work that way, yeah, bro. Yeah. You know, and especially in a public entity, you know.
What would you do if you got in a fight now, bro?
You know, I got like a good, you know, couple seconds in me, yeah. bro. I'll yeah. be a little tired, but you
when
know what?
When's the last time yeah. you got one? Remember?
I used to love fighting, dude. Bro. I do not want to fight anymore.
Yeah.
If I would
so last time is another. So last time I got in a fight was on Halloween, maybe like.
Sounds like there was alcohol involved.
No, actually, no, bro. Like
15
no,
years ago?
About almost 15 years. Yeah, because this year.
I guess for me, it's been about 10.
Like 15 years because my wife, and I, you know, it was so funny. I was Friendstone, bro.
You were?
I was Fred Flintstone for Halloween.
Oh,
in a costume.
And you whooped somebody's ass?
Multiple guys. And it was funny because, you know, my wife, she didn't know me back in the day. She knew me when I was getting a little bit better in my life. You know, my wife, you know, thank God for her. She changed.
Helped straighten you out.
Shot me, straighten me out. And
the good ones can iron out a wrinkle.
Exactly. You know so there was always this story like, oh, Steve was a tough guy, you know. Yeah. And I didn't portray myself that way. I had thick skin, man. Yeah, like, I had a different childhood growing up. You know, and I had to just be really tough, you know. So, and yeah, you know, some stuff happened where my, you know, I had to help my friends out. And
did somebody say something about your costume or something?
No, you know, like, actually, one of my friends, you know, I haven't talked to him in years. They were just basically, you know, acting a ruckus, and something happened about someone stealing beer, and I don't remember. But all of a sudden, I just remember
just some bullshit,
just some dumb shit.
But
I don't remember.
You were the type of individual, maybe
like,
kind
Steve will tune you up.
Maybe some of the old habits were like.
Yo, I was in a car.
Up old Steve.
Yeah, I was in a car.
Chew up old Steve.
And I had to get out.
You like problems. Get out. Go. You
exactly. Know I mean? Yeah. And then even my wife goes like, hey, you do know how to fight, huh? Like, you know, I even want her extra, you know, because she was like the good college girl.
Mm.
You know, she's like, oh, man, I got myself a badass.
Yeah.
You know, and but then,
like
yeah.
Like I said, certified, bro.
Certified, bro.
We found that one out.
Yeah, you know.
you remember at the old office when my little brother called me and dude punched him in the face? That was the last time
when
I beat somebody
ago,
up.
I'm like, yeah, that's probably
was. It was probably when I was like 27, 28.
Mine was
right
2008. On UFC 100, Brock Lesnar was fighting Frank Mir, I think.
Yeah, you put that dude out.
Yeah,
I had to kill him, actually.
Yeah.
You got in your truck wanting to kill him.
I don't know,
what
is that, 2008 to now?
Yeah.
So isn't that funny? Like,
you remember your last fight.
You know? You remember, yeah.
Well, not only that, it's just it's a long time ago, but really not, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that just shows the maturity level in 10 or 15 years of, like, we were all putting ourselves... I don't even like putting myself in situations like that anymore, right? Like, if I'm in a situation where something like that can happen, I'm probably not in the right spot, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Going to bars. I don't like going to bars at night. Last time I got knocked out.
hey, you
went
to
that. Wasn't a fight.
That was 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it was after our Christmas party, our work Christmas party, a group of people were like, yo, let's keep doing this. You know, I'm like, let's go. The old me came out, right? Trev Dog was just ready to rock.
Yeah.
And we were just finding out why one of our employees got kicked out of the bar. So Trev's over there talking to a bouncer. Someone just from the side.
From the side.
Just
cracked my skull, bro.
Yeah.
But they asked me if I wanted to press charges. And you know what I said? No. The reason why I didn't. And I ended up having to do. They went up through my face and had face surgery because my around where my eye is right there, that was caved in. And if it would have healed, it would have had like a lump, like an indent in the side of my head. So it was like 10 G's. Obviously, with insurance, I paid probably like two or three. But
you'd have been the new skinny Fooker, dude.
But yeah, I know, right? Yeah.
So.
But at the end of the day, I said no because I took responsibility. And what I told them, I said, my dumb ass was at a place that I shouldn't have been at a time I shouldn't have been there. So what happened to me, I know is a higher likelihood to happen there than anywhere else. So I'm the dumbass. And at the end of the day, I told him, no, I don't want to press any charges. Like I wanted to take ownership.
You're a victim
of
something that someone else did, but you are not a victim
of putting myself in that situation.
In that environment.
Correct.
Right. You have to always find where you can take accountability.
And that's the reason that I wanted to tie all that together because yes, something bad happened, but I made the decision to put myself in a higher likelihood situation for something bad to happen.
Exactly.
And I don't normally do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And you know, you hit it on the nose. You put yourself, and nowadays, you know, I have kids, and I'm a businessman and things like that. And
your
people
life is more structured.
My life is more structured.
You're a big-ass teddy bear now. That's what happens when they make
you
as a dad,
I cry for everything, man. Yeah. You don't even know, man. But yeah, and even, you know, like going back to like, so when they, if I didn't really like the name Street Fighter no more. People were just like, hey, like, and this is at work.
Yeah.
Because I was just aggressive. Like, hey, you know what? You're going to get that shit done because I tell you to.
Yeah.
You know? But after I had to change my dynamic because my mentor was little guy, man. Little, like, 5'5", you know, with glasses, dork-looking guy kind of, you know? But, hey, you know what? His words were powerful.
Mm.
Like, you'd be across and, oh, he's coming. Let's move out the way. Let's get things done, you know? So I kind of took his motto, you know, kill him with kindness kind of concept, you know? And just really knowing how to talk to people, using my ability to talk and, you know, encourage people, you know? So
using a different strength rather than just strength.
Just strength exactly.
You know what I mean? You know? Like forcing something on somebody versus just treating them in a way that they want to do it themselves is completely different.
Yeah. So then I, you know, I moved up there and now I became in facilities and that's where I kind of went gung-ho. I, you know, facilities is, if people don't know, in the district world, it's all the money comes, like, you know, because if it's not educational, you're building new things and fixing things, you know? So we're having multi-million dollar contracts and my mentors were like, hey, you know, you're going to learn here. There you go.
Yeah.
And I figured it out, you know, and I asked questions and we just moved on and we had a good thing going on. And then people started leaving, you know, because growth, like after you exhaust certain dollar amounts, you're kind of, you know, going to the next adventure. And unfortunately, some of my good mentors end up leaving and I end up having a boss that was, unfortunately, I kind of oversee at one point in time, you know, and I was a little bitter, to be honest. I don't have a degree. I didn't have a degree at the time either. And they didn't. I did the job, but they didn't selected me for it because I didn't have a degree. You know, because it's degree driven type of you know role. And
industry.
I was like, industry. I was like, oh, you know what? So then I you know, I was slacking, man. To be honest, I was showing up late to work, man. If people know me, I'm never late to work, man. I'm always on time. I say after hours or whatever. My wife was like, hey, something's going on with you. You know, you're not acting yourself. I'm gonna be in the system, and not, meaning in the system is being the way everyone else is, and nothing against that. That's what you want to do. That's you, but that wasn't me, and I felt it. And it takes it takes a lot of courage and a lot of thought to figure that out. Like, damn, something you're screwing up, Steve. You're messing up your future. And I was 29 at the time.
Yeah. About 29. A lot of people don't have the ability to call themselves out, bro. That's why, but it's they just get stuck in the lullaby of average.
Well, you got to go through some of that shit too, man. Like, I'm never late. I'm always this. I'm always that. Well, you know what? Sometimes life gets the best of you, and that's a big ass blessing. You know, you got to go through that and understand and be honest with yourself. Like, damn, I let this get to me, man. This isn't me. And you learning to fight through that and becoming you again and being the punctual person, the driven, the hard worker, all that stuff. Like, you got to go through it sometimes to really appreciate it and see the value of it.
I was going to say, sometimes, just to be quite honest, when you fall off, but you get back on, you get back on a little bit stronger
absolutely.
That next time.
It's like anytime you go through a rut, dude, man.
Correct. Yeah. And like people have done this with their fitness journey. Like, and I tell, hey, if you fall off and you get back on, those times where you get back on, they get shorter and shorter and shorter, right? But eventually you'll make it just a lifestyle, right?
Absolutely.
Like that's just kind of what happens. And it's the same with recommitting to your business or whatever it is that you're recommitting to. You could recommit to your marriage, or you could recommit to your fitness, or your recommit to being a better leader in your organization. Yeah. And sometimes it takes you falling off and realizing, holy shit, I slid so far away from what I was doing that I now know for a fact it can even happen to me. I can even slip up, because sometimes we get in our own ego. I this, I that, I'm always on time. I'm this guy. And you slip sometimes from it. And next thing you know, you're out here and you're like, holy shit, I'm not the guy that I once was. And I'm not operating at the level that I used to operate at. And so you sometimes when you course correct at even a greater level at that point.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't want people to think if they fall off that it's necessarily a completely terrible thing.
No.
We all do it, but then we evaluate self and readjust, right?
Yeah, it's just like a car, you know? You gotta, it's running like shit when you don't change the oil, right? You know, but once you change the oil and kind of get things, it's moving
going
correctly,
again?
Right?
Yep.
So at that time, I told my wife, I was like, look, like, I really don't have a plan, but I got to get out of here. I got to figure it out. I got to get out of here because this is driving me nuts and it's not good for us. And at the time, we're expecting our, or we just had our second daughter. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to go. I'm going to leave. I'm going to get my contractor's license. And I'm going to do construction work. That's what I know. And that's what I'm going to do. So I did it. And she, she supported me. Yeah. She supported me. She was there. And
what did that mean? You had to leave? Like,
I left. I just decided I put my 2 weeks in and I left the district.
Oh, okay.
I left there from being at, making six figures plus more, with overtime and all the stuff I did. And people were like,
when you say district, what does that mean?
So district. So I worked for a school district.
Gotcha.
So I worked for a school district and I spent my career there at 18 years and I learned a lot, and I decided it was my time to go.
You had to leave, take no income basically to get your contractor's license. You just had to study and tests and you said.
So I left. I got my contractor's license and I hit the ground running.
How many years ago was this?
This was in 2017.
Okay.
2016, 2017 when I left, and then from there, good and bad. I don't know about
all
business.
All of it in between, bro.
I made a lot of money, lost a lot of money. Yes. Made a lot of friends, lost a lot of friends, but I learned a ton, bro. Mm. Like I learned so much that. I would never take back, bro. Like people they ask me like how'd you do that? Why? Like, you know what? I had to, for my own mental health and for my family, I had to make that jump.
You had to switch a gear.
I had to switch to gear, and it was going good. And then it kind of fell off and wearing multiple hats. But like I was telling you earlier, man, it was like, I had one foot in somewhere else already because my mentor, there was a position opened up in another district in charge of construction and the procurement and the whole development of projects is what I excel at. And so, you guys know I'm not preaching to the choir that you have a business, you got to be all in it.
Yeah.
You know, if not, it's going to fall off. Something's going to happen, especially starting out. And sure enough, I was double booking people. I was trying to be over here, and clients were upset. And it was
a learning experience.
It was a learning experience, horrible, great. Me and my wife went through a lot of different things, man. Like, financially, it was tough trying to figure out, what we're going to eat tomorrow to that point, And that's, getting payday loans, a lot of stuff that it's not pretty. But you know what? It's I'm here today for a reason. I'm here today for a reason because I made that leap. And then I was like, you know what? I wasn't ready. Mentally, I wasn't ready. I wasn't all there. And I went to this other district as a director of construction. And I was there for a couple years. And dude, I run, a little under $500 million worth of work, a lot of money and pushing things and getting things done.
It's a lot to manage.
Yeah, it's a lot to manage. And I came up with a theory was like, every project is the same. It's just more doors, more lumber, more everything, just treat it the same, and you just have a grass schedule just longer. It's the same thing, so and that's what
instead
I try to
teach. One day to put the doors in, it might be a week of
a week
the
exactly
doors in.
So using that motto and having the same mentor, having people just like, you know what, thinking outside the box and really trying to like educate myself during that time. And then there was a point in 2020, the beginning of the year, I became a director of construction and maintenance. So I was firing people, dealing with the regular day-to-day people, and people didn't like that. You know, upper management didn't really like that, like above, and political things got involved, you know, as far as like, yeah.
In 2020, there was something political that happened that shook up the world.
Yeah, I think so, you know. Basically, basically they were like, you know what, Steve, you're stirring the pot too much. You know, you got to go, or basically, or we're going to lay you off. And so they pretty much hang a carrot over my head because they're like, you're the newest one, so we're going to let everybody go. And at the same time, what we're going to do is bring you back. But then if they bring me back, you got me chokehold.
Yeah.
You know, because you're back because of me.
Yeah.
Or whatever the case. And then, so at the time I developed my company, Trine Consulting Group, because I wanted a variety of things to handle on the school district world. It's not just construction. Procurement program. There's a lot of that involved.
You knew the game when you worked with the district that you were able to build a company that could facilitate things at a high level where you saw maybe some things lacking.
Exactly. And then there's out other companies that do the same thing. And my mentor, one of my good mentors, he goes, "Oh, bro, like you're going to do so well. Like you're just going to go out there." And sure enough, August 21st, 2020, I was gone.
Running and gunning.
I left that district and I had everything. I was, you know, if I wanted to compete with the big boys, I have to have big boy things. From my attorney to my payroll department. Like I spent a lot of money to get everything where it needs to be at because I want to compete. I'm not going to, you know, it's the big leagues. Like I'm not going to compete with just, you know, JV department.
So let's talk about that. Let's talk about that just for a second. I want to highlight that for a minute. Okay. And the reason why I want to highlight that for a minute, because when you decide to take it, that next step of that next standard of what you want to, the league that you want to play in, so to speak, when you're not there yet, but you want to play in that league, you kind of got to spend like you're in that league when you don't have the revenue that league has, right?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And that's a son of a bitch right there, right? Is that's the biggest issue that stunts most businesses. They all want to play in the big leagues. They can't figure out why their business is plateaued, but yet they haven't taken a back seat yet to dump money into surrounding themselves with great, so therefore they can become great. And you took you had to take a step back or forego money that you could have paid yourself to start shelling out at a higher level in order to try to play in the big leagues, correct?
Oh yeah, correct. And I'm still doing that now. You know, I'm a year and a half in the business. And you know, and just like there's called big dogs, and people in our industry, like you walk around and you're like, oh, that's so-and-so. Mm-hmm. And I was blessed and like, you know, and knowing, putting myself in front of people, I had no problem with that. I'll be in rooms like this, uncomfortable as hell.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like, oh damn, like that person's so-and-so. But then I just kind of feed in the guy and then we just adapt, you know, and now I'm on this side, right? So now I could finish people's sentences on that district side because I was on that side for so many years, you know. So they feel the connection with me versus some other clients as well. So I did that. My wife, same thing. She supported me, man. She, you know, my wife, you know, is my rock, man. Like a lot of men don't like to fess up to that, bro. Like if it wasn't for her and for my why, my kids as well, I wouldn't be standing in this room with you guys and making that extra effort because investing into yourself.
Women are strong, bro. They got different strength than men. You know what I mean? Most men would fold going through like supporting you through that time. You know what I mean? But women are just like, they just have that strength.
Yeah, dude. It's crazy, sure, man. Like I always give big props to my wife. If not enough, you know, like three kids, plus we take care of her grandmother. It's a lot of work, man.
You know? Oh, yeah, yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Dude, yeah. I'm telling you, you know, I was a completely different person before my wife.
Hey, we all were, brother. You
know, if Trev was trying to support Trev, he'd have folded already.
Oh, dude.
Same with me, dude.
Dude, no doubt. No doubt. The only reason why I have money and don't, like, live like a rock star. Because I had shiny object syndrome when I first started touching money. I liked all the cool shit just like everybody else. I wanted all the cool shit more than I wanted the big bank account, right? But now it's like, you can keep all the cool shit. What's up with the fat bank account?
Yeah, exactly.
What's up with them hard ass assets? You know? Yeah. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, you know, assets instead of liabilities, man, you know? And and that's, you know, last year was a big learning curve for me as well. Like, you know, on finding the correct people for my company and the morale and just over our dynamic and the little success.
A lot to juggle, dude. A lot to think about that other people don't even know that we have to think about.
Exactly. And at the same time, like, you know, enjoying the fruits of our own labor, you know, like, and I expressed to Doug that at dinner the other night is first time going to Hawaii was last year, man. You know, I'd never been to Hawaii before. I couldn't afford it. You know, I took my whole family out. My mother-in-law, we all went for Mother's Day. You know, we had a beautiful freaking, you know, dinner on the beach, and you know, we had a pimp, you know, Airbnb, you know, and I told my family, I was like, you know, I enjoy it, and then my kids get to experience, and that's what I want, you know. I'm not, you know, flashy cars. I have a diesel. I have a nice. I have, you know, decent stuff to get me to point A to point B, but you know, I'm not thinking about the Lambos. I'm not thinking about the different things. I'm thinking about more of the experience and what's going to bring value to my family. And that was one of the things. My kids loved it. And I told them, I was like, next time we go, we're going to, this one, we for like comfort on the boss side.
I don't think I've ever been on a trip where I'm not doing some sort of work.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean? You jump it on a Zoom or a phone call or, you know, it's like, it just is what it
is. Yeah, it is,
man.
What it is. And then we're programmed different. Like, and even, even like yesterday, like even just from the conversation I had with Doug, like, it was just so, like, you know, overwhelming, but great and overwhelming because of talking to people that I could just talk about what I like to do. You know, when you're in that mindset, and
but they enjoy that conversation too. So
yeah, that's the thing. It's not just
it's what you're both looking for.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're not just rolling their eyes or like, oh, this food thinks
like,
he's the shit.
Oh my god, you know, this guy's just talking about this contract or this or that. No, you talk about a big contract, people, the right people. Like, yo, what's up with like, tell, you know what I mean? Like, they want to hear about those cool wins, and they want to hear about what you're doing, and you start picking each other's brains and really start just, again, serving each other at a high level, right?
Oh, yeah, man. And then just really thinking about, like, you know, having staff and seeing what I could do for them. What am I lacking? Like, we're just talking, what am I lacking as a boss? Like, let me know. I'm not a psychic. Like, I'm trying to figure out everything I can, and we're growing and trying to figure out this whole thing together on the business side of it.
We could do it,
you know, and we could be successful, and we could be a multi-million dollar, you know, company very quickly if we want. But, you know, as fast as some companies grow, they crumble because they don't have the right people in place for certain things, you know. And I don't want to go back to the old business I had was wearing multiple hats and driving myself nuts, you know. And so I just started kind of really investing in things. I started a rental company, just to be able to have an extra source of income because I seen the demand, but also to feed back into my company to invest more into myself. Like this is an investment.
Like, you know, but let's talk about the rental company. You have your company, was looking for rental companies and you noticed there was a lack for certain products, services, whatever, whatever in that industry. So therefore he said, well, if there's a gap in the industry, if I'm having a tough time sourcing this product, maybe I become a source for that product.
Exactly.
Right. And so what's happening is he's not only serving the existing business that he has, he's actually creating a side income, a side business off of a need inside of his niche that he knows exists. You know what I mean? And I think a lot of people, again, if you struggle at anything in your industry, try to find a way to solve it because that's your new income.
Dude, you hit it on the nose, man, because I struggle with timelines a lot on projects because right now, you know, demand on material and everything, it's so crazy, man. Things are just hanging out the docks. And one of the things is temp fence, you know, because of, you know, cities, they pay a lot of money for taxes. They don't want to see construction or dust control, all that stuff. So then I was like, hey, I need my project to start. Well, we can't get temp fence. I kept on hearing that excuse over and over.
What is a temp fence?
Around the whole fence.
They even made me do that up here.
It's not a tarp or something. Yeah, it's like something that runs through a screen.
Yeah.
Where you kind of see in, but you can't. But it stops like the dust and shit from going out.
Exactly. So I seen that, and I was just like, you know what? So I started looking at myself. So I was like, you know, and I already had my, you know, I was doing like Bobcats and things like that and just rental for long term. So out of sight, out of mind, you know, kind of thing, just continue revenue. And then I was like, oh, you know, let me go buy some. So I ended up buying like 5,000 linear feet. You know, that's over a mile of temp fence. If you need temp fence, I got you. You know, so it was one of the things where from there I started just, hey, contractors, I have this. This is, my, you know, my other sub company.
You start becoming a go-to guy for
a go-to guy and getting things taken care of. And just, you know, at the end of the day, that extra money, it's investment back into my company to be able to, you know, just, you know, you spend it. I'm trying to play with the big boys. I'm spending a lot of money to be able to hang up here, you know, because meaning hanging up here is just doing things that big companies do.
Well, bro, all the big companies, they find as many ways to generate revenue with whatever industry or whatever the vehicle is. They add as many buckets of income around that, right? Like for us, for accounting, we could add, you know, insurance buckets. You know, we already link up with friends for other services, HR services, investments,
all kinds of things.
Merchant accounts. Yep. Shout out Adam Neese, the payments guy on Instagram. You know, if you go to him, tell him Trevor and Kel sent you and give him some shit, if you will, please, for me. I try to do it as much as I can, but I don't get to do it as much as I'd like. So be my eyes and ears out there. But no, we try to do that as well, right? Like utilize the industry or your business, sure, as a main source of income to start generating revenue and take care of your family. But every business in every industry will then need something and have a pain point like you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Every single one. Like we custom built a CRM for all of our clients to be in, and we've talked about potentially out like having people pay us to utilize our system and our CRM because we've built it the way that we thought it would be best to serve a customer. And then now that we did that, we solved our own problem, building a system to keep our customers in that we think is operating at a high level, since we couldn't find that at a good price or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's an opportunity for us to make that available to other accounting firms and make money. And so people need to kind of expand their mind, not so much so just focused on what they're doing in terms of, okay, I got one crew, I need to turn it into two and then three and then four. Sure, that's expansion. You gotta be looking for those little teeny nuggets, right?
Well, the other thing too is all those big companies that you're kind of aspiring to be, like, I want to play in their league. There's just another guy just like you.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like they literally have gone, they're just a little further ahead because they've already gone through exactly what you're doing. They're solving problems, open up more companies to solve their problems. And before they know it, you go and meet that dude that you're like, I'm going to play in their league. You're like, find out after real quick, like, man, it's just another dude like I did. Literally walked that same path. He was willing to do these things that most are not willing to do over and over and over again. Now he's got this juggernaut business that you're now trying to like play at their level. And so it's like they're only ahead of you because they started before you.
Exactly. And that's And basically describing like, you know what, when I was sitting in these rooms with these people, I'm like, man, these people are human too.
Yeah.
Like, just like me. They're like, I'm like, hey man, I was like, I just seen you the other day on TV for some stuff that you're, I was like, and you were talking and just shooting the shit just like we are, man. And I was just like, you know what? It's great. But then I kind of wanted to get ahead of that. You know, if I'm, you know, I would like how I was saying is they're not my competition because I offer something different, you know, and my mindset is different because of the fact that when you're in the entrepreneur mindset, it's sky's the limit, man.
Mm.
Dude, my brain thinks about so many different things because, you know, working on brain exercises, taking things off of my brain. Okay, I can fill it up now. What can I fill it up with? You know, fill it up with this type of, worth ethic or this type of, exercise or even just talking to you guys. Just like when I met you guys in San Diego, go back. Dude, it felt like I knew you guys for years, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Like it was just crazy, man.
We felt the exact same way.
You know,
like, yeah, what's good, bro?
I was like, yeah, I'm like, what up, man? You know, yeah. I'm like, I shake hands like that with my boys that I grew up with since we were youngsters, you know? Yeah. And, but yeah, like even this morning, the conversations that we have, and it's just genuine, you know, conversations about family and about different things and just really connecting on a different level. You know, and I shared the story with you, earlier was about the gentleman I met about a couple weeks ago. And he was in the same position on the district side. And we talked and things like that. And I expressed some things about missing like the first couple years of my daughter's life, you know, because of work.
Yeah.
You know, I went home, she was asleep. I woke up, I went to work and she was asleep. Up, you know, and you know what? It's tough, man. You know, those are things I had to put myself through and put my family through to get to the more rewarding stage, you know. You know, and that's what people.
I would say to this to any youngsters out there that are hustlers, that are entrepreneurs, could be great salespeople. You know, you could be a hustler working for somebody else, no matter what it is. But at the end of the day, I really believe that if you're young, in other words, you don't have kids yet, you should be maxing the hell out of the possibilities right now.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Like, one thing that you have is time. You know, we have to divide our time. We have families, right? So our time can't go 100% in one specific area, because if it was 100% of family, we can't feed them.
Well, we didn't get wise.
If it's 100% of business, we don't get to spend time with our family.
We didn't get wise to it until we had kids and we're like, oh shit, I got people to feed, right? And so if you can actually find enough like logic to learn from these other people, these guys that are at a little wiser state than you, it's like, man.
Because they can make greater
sacrifices. You have no idea how different your life could be if you would just double down right now before you have kids. You're going to sacrifice so much time with them kids if you wait till you have them like we do. You know,
and
like
then
we did.
Start a business because the business needs so much of your attention. So it's like, imagine that there's a 24-year-old that doesn't have a family yet, and they made the sacrifice from 24 to 27.
You could do so much in 24 to 28 years.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's the foundation for an amazing life.
Yeah.
And then when you find your family, you're not having to make some of the same they're not your sacrifice for the something greater, you know, in the future, right? And so if you have the ability to go out there and put in 10-hour days, 12-hour days, 14, without it negatively affecting somebody else, that's a huge opportunity for young entrepreneurs right now to maximize, because it's not going to be like that forever.
Yeah. And you'll still do it. You just won't have to do it so extreme, right?
Yeah.
And it's good for your kids to see some sacrifice. Yeah. You know what I mean? But it's pretty cool when you can pick and choose a little more, because you put in the work before you
all have. My extra time as a youngster was spent partying, getting in trouble.
Yeah, exactly. And that's when we're just talking about our kids, you know?
Yeah.
They're going to have 10, 15 years of entrepreneur experience than we did.
Yeah.
Easy right off the bat, you know? You know, like the stuff I was explaining about my daughter, man, you know, she's a little hustler. She wants to buy a building, you know, and I tell different ways to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and she was like, and she, after a while, it's like, okay, that makes sense. Well, after that, that's made more money. I was like, yeah, you know, but you know, learning and educating people. Cause if I, you know, in my 20-year-old body, man.
But if somebody told me what I just said, wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah.
It's not a 20. Maybe there's that one. There's the unicorn that's listening or whatever like that. But, you know, so I guess even if it's one person that makes that adjustment.
It's, you know, everyone has their time to hatch.
Yeah.
You know, I was watching the other day, like some of the painters, famous painters. They didn't start painting until they were 70 years old, man.
Mm.
You know, and even certain things that came out like, oh, he started when he was 50. Like, oh, damn, that's 50 years.
Yeah.
You know, and he started a whole new, he just left what he wanted to do and he started his own new business. And I was like, oh, that's cool, man. You know, that guy I met, the guy I was talking about, the, how you, you're different, you know, like, you know, you have the guy with the stutter, the speech thing.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I was at the airport, man. I seen some guy, he had, some type of disorder, couldn't really use his hands, and he had, like a weird, limp, and, but he texts. What is tongue?
Oh,
you know,
that was his pointer finger.
You know, and I was just like,
so he'd hold the phone up to his wrist.
Yeah, and he would just like boom, 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 boom,
towards his mouth.
And just hit it. You know, and I was just like, wow. I was like, you know what? unfortunately he's in that situation, but he learned how to adapt and learn how to figure things out. And we're all human. We're all going to be able to learn how to adapt, but put yourself in a comfortable situation that, you know, even if you don't have to, you're going to get so much more rewarding out of it, or you're going to learn how to
see that, that when I hear stories like that, that's what bothers me. You know, when people, again, like we had Matt on the show, that was, he got paralyzed, right? But there's plenty of people that are completely able bodies that fall victim to a bunch of mental bullshit that they have playing upstairs in their mind. And then there's individuals like that, that really have things to overcome, not this fucking fake pretend shit that you make up in your brain to create anxiety so that, you know, like that's just really what it is right now. Some people actually have real, real fucking problems, physical problems that they have to overcome every single day. And your ass can hop out of bed, just do whatever, whatever. And you choose to take your able body and just do nothing with it and complain about your situation more so than empower you to do something greater. This individual chooses, instead of folding, you know, fuck, maybe I'll just figure out how to text using my tongue. You know, he, again, adapting to the situation, overcoming adversity is really what it comes down to, right?
Yeah, and then I think that helps. Like you kind of, we all kind of have those days that we all, you
know, that we feel sorry for ourselves.
Like
nobody's dealing with the shit I'm dealing with.
Right now. Like that. I don't know if you guys seen the other day. I posted something on social media. I fucking ate shit, bro. I was at the bowling alley, dude. I caught major error, bro.
major error.
Like slid on those bowling alley shoes.
So you know, there's that line.
Right before, slippery as hell.
I always use things as a learning experience after I fell on my ass. So I got a little close. You know, I'm always competitive, so I was trying to get like
as close as I can.
Without crossing the line. But sure enough, I crossed that line and my feet just started going with it. And I try to gain my balance and boom, bro.
I'd love to see the footage.
Bro, I got up and, you know, I'm like 260, bro. I'm not the lightest guy in the
world. Yeah, he didn't come down like a feather.
No, you heard that, you know, and boom. And I just kind of sit there and I just kind of, you know, I got up and I was just like, everyone's like, you're right. And I was
the whole
like,
room silent.
They're like, then I died, bro. But I was like, you know, I'm good. But then the following day, you know, I was dragging. You know, I was a little sore. You know, if I was a little sore, but then same thing, I got up. I was like, you know what? I got to get up. I got to get some stuff done for work. You know, it's Sunday, but just kind of be ahead of the game, you know. And I learned that, as I used it as a learning experience, because what I learned, what I taught myself that day from that incident was like, you know what? Sometimes you have to not test the boundaries too much, because if you do, you're going to fucking eat shit, you know. So sometimes you get enough, but don't test it too much.
Well, you got to be self-aware enough to know. Literally, success is more so probably about how self-aware you are, to where you can, you know, put yourself in the highest probability of success situations, okay? And how you do this is by thinking ahead, okay? Willpower is a thing that actually dies down throughout the day. That's a proven fact. You know, they've studied judges and shit like that in terms of how harsh they are throughout the day. And right before their lunch, they're super harsh. They're hangry. Mm-hmm. They're super harsh. Their sentences are really and then right after lunch, they're satisfied and they're a little easier on people, right? And it talks about willpower for an extended period of time, and then it slowly fades off throughout the day, right? So you can make so many good decisions.
Yeah.
Okay. It talks about a story. It's called the Ulysses Contract. Okay. This is a Trojan war hero, okay? This individual, they won a battle. They're selling back home, but there's this island full of babes, just women. You know what I mean? Like, this is some sort of weird legend. And again, it could be a folktale or whatever, but it was a cool story. And so these women are getting the attention of all the sailors. They go, every boat crashes into the rocks of this island. So it works 100% of the time. Ulysses, he wanted to freaking figure this thing out, but he knew that he has willpower right now in this moment to say, I won't fall for that. But he's smart enough to know that he probably will when he gets put in that circumstance. Mm-hmm. But he still wanted to try it. So he put himself in a controlled situation because he knows himself well enough, even though he has high willpower, he knows, well, maybe in that situation, I won't feel like I feel right now.
Yeah.
So how do I protect myself so that I don't make the mistake everybody does and get drawn in and die?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What he decided to do, he tied himself. He had his crew tie him to the front post of the ship so he can't get away. He put like beeswax in every one of his crew members' ears so they couldn't hear. So he gets to hear it and check it out, but they can't hear it. And he has no control to tell them to go to the island.
Yeah.
So what he did is knew that at one point he would be weak. So he put himself in a situation where he had the highest probability of success. He still got the outcome he wanted. He wanted to see what it sounded like, but he controlled the situation.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like Kel has a trainer. He flat out said, I do better with a trainer. He could easily have a conversation with himself. I don't need a trainer. You know, I'm not going to. And talk himself out of that. And then maybe slip and not go to the gym. He has enough history with himself. He's like, this is how I know I can perform at a high level every day.
Yeah.
So I'm going to control the situation because I know if I wake up in the morning, I might not want to get up. But if my trainer's there, I'm probably 1,000 times more likely to be there as well. So what can I do to control the future right now?
Yeah.
By creating a plan.
Exactly.
Prior, okay? And when you create a plan, when you're in a clear mind and thinking logically, it's all good. But what are you doing to create a plan when maybe things go awry and you're not thinking logically? What protection do you put around yourself? His protection is he pays for a trainer. He values money. He's not going to leave his trainer high and dry. So therefore, he is going to show up, mm-hmm. right? So the Ulysses contract is knowing who you are right now, knowing how you respond in certain situations and trying to protect yourself from those certain situations as much as you possibly can.
That's so good.
But
that's good.
If you're not self-aware, how would you protect yourself from those future situations and how you would react and maybe tempting, again, situations?
Yeah, right? They're like temptations is like, it's crazy, man. Yeah. Good and bad.
Right.
You know, like you get tempted to do certain things and like going back to what I was saying about like, tasting a little bit of success.
Yeah.
You know, just tasting it. Yeah, I'm not having it for lunch and dinner. Mm-hmm. It's like more like an appetizer.
Yeah.
You know, because I taste a little bit where I get you enjoying certain things. I took my daughter, we went to the Dodger game. I got a suite for my family. And, you know, and it was one of the things I wanted to enjoy it, you know. And my kids were like, what the hell? Like, this is crazy. Like, we get people are coming in and giving us a service and all that stuff. I'm like, we taste a little bit. And I, when people as a taste, as an appetizer, you want to keep on getting it more and more, but then it's not a full meal. You know, once you put in that temptation in a full meal, that means you want it all the time. I'm not going to the sweets every weekend.
Well, then if you're doing it all the time, you actually will become weak.
Yeah.
Cause you're creating too many times for you.
It goes on both sides. It's better to taste it.
Yeah.
So it goes, I think of it as like you're talking about self-awareness. I think about it as like self-aware acclimation. You know what I mean? Like if you were to go get a job at the oil fields right now, you'd be looking at all these motherfuckers out there in 40 below gear. Like, well, how the hell do you get your ass up and do this every day? Mm. Well, they've acclimated to the weather, the harsh environment, and like they've acclimated to that situation. It's just like if you're tasting success, but you're self-aware enough to be like, dude, this is not going to be enjoyable if I do it every single day. Like I want more of this, right? But if you do start doing it every single day, you're going to acclimate to that, bro. You're going to want those $300 meals all the time. Yeah. And then next thing you know, it's just not even that enjoyable, but you keep doing it, right?
Yeah.
And so you acclimate in the right direction or you acclimate in the wrong direction, so when you have enough self-awareness, going back to what you're talking about, self-awareness, you got to be able to be self-aware of like, man, I know business is be hard at every single level, right? So when I start acclimating to it, the hard becomes not hard anymore. I need to get something a little bit harder.
What's the new hard?
What's the new exactly. hard? Like, you know, you're leveling up on every aspect. Like, I like using a lot of different analogies from sports to video games and things as a kid. Like Mario Brothers, right? Like I was talking about, like, you know, every level is different.
Yeah.
You had different tunnels to go through, and you're going to figure things out, you know. And if they're going to tell you, then, you know, oh, I conquered this level. Well, you got a next level, bro.
Yeah.
And that level is harder. And then you got the next level. You got the next level. And you're going to go and keep on going, because at the end of the day, the people you surround yourself with, everyone's leveling up.
Mm-hmm. But can you imagine if a motherfucker came to you and was just excited about beating level one, and they talked about it over and over and over for a fucking decade?
Yeah, bro.
Wouldn't that get old?
That's what average is.
That's what motherfuckers do.
Yeah.
They're still celebrating a lot of old wins, and they're not looking for the new one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Are you talking about what you, I mean, fuck, when we did, when we do, oh, I used to have a 750 credit score. Well, you don't know more. Let's stop talking about what you used to.
Yeah,
you're used to credit score ain't qualifying
they
you
used
for
to
anything
hand me loans.
To yeah, exactly. used to. Yeah. Like, but, and I mean, that's just honestly what's your next fucking win? If you're still talking about the old win and there's not a new win that's in sights or something that you're working towards, let's put it this way. If you're talking about an old win, I know you don't have something new in your sights, because your focus should be on some, and you should be talking about the thing that you're going to accomplish, or the thing that you're working towards and that you're trying to accomplish today, because that's the most exciting thing on your plate right now, not the thing that you did fucking because you won state, you know, 15 years ago.
Yeah, you're gonna be the Al Bundy, bro, back in the day, the Poke High, bro.
I am a 1997 Utah State baseball champ, literally. Yeah. What's good,
Uncle Rico, man?
Hey, yeah, I am an Uncle Rico,
bro. Yeah,
exactly. You know,
but
the funny thing is everybody laughed at Uncle Rico. But the majority of people are Uncle Rico.
Yeah, I know.
So isn't that a weird parody by itself? They're like laughing at everybody knows that person, but also you might be the person for somebody else that they know.
You use it for a couple of different things. Like, you know, you forget about it, but you like, okay, what did I get to get that one? Okay, let's go to the next one. What am I going to do that's leveling up to get this next one? Because every preparation that you do for each win is different. It's like a team, right? You know, like you're going to play a team, you know, right now.
One's maybe heavy offense. One's maybe heavy on defense. One maybe both. Maybe.
Yeah, you might change your zones. Like, you know, like I played football for a long time. So I like, you know, different defenses. You got receivers that are fast. You're going to play a zone defense because you can't get your corners to be able to cover them.
Yeah.
Man defense, you know. So you strategize your game plan to fit your next win. If it's your next contract, even if it's your next relationship, like, fit.
So what do they do at halftime if they're losing 50-0?
If they're losing 50-0?
If somebody's losing 50-0, what's the team at halftime that's zero doing?
Hey, bro, you forgot about first quarter, you go to the next one.
Then you're making some adjustments, I would
guess. Making some adjustments, yeah.
You know what I mean? How many people are losing right now 50-0 that are going to wake up tomorrow and do the same fucking thing they did today?
Yeah.
The same thing they did yesterday. They're not making adjustments.
Yeah.
That's why they're not fucking winners.
Exactly. And even learning from things, like just from like sports, you know, you're getting your ass smashed 70-0. Okay. There ain't no sorries, man. There ain't no, like, you know what, I'm sorry that I smashed your ass. No. You know, you got to work harder, bro. You got to work harder to level up and get to you. There's teams that have smashed us too, and we got better. You know, we have to do the same thing with business. And now I tell guys, like, this shit's not fun, man. It's fun to a certain extent. I love the chaos, man. I love the...
No, you love a challenge, dude.
The challenge,
you love
man.
A challenge. That's what entrepreneurs are. They just love a challenge, and they love to get their face smashed in and figure out solutions to problems. That's really what it comes down to, because if you didn't like that, you wouldn't be an entrepreneur, because all you're facing is problems every day.
Yeah, like, you know what I mean? The other day on the podcast with Kent, when you know, a UFC fighter's not going to go in there and not get punched, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dude, that was like perfect. And I was explaining to, you know, back in the day, I used to do a lot of mixed martial arts and jiu-jitsu and a lot of stuff like that competitively. And my trainer always told me, hey, at the time it was like Anderson Silva, BJ Penn, we're the big boys, man, right? And they're like, hey, if they call you tomorrow, right, and they open that book and they look, oh, man, Steve Pedroza, he looks like a catchy name, just like Rocky did, bro. Oh, you know, what was it? This The Italian Stallion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that looks catchy. Let me pick him. He was a nobody. So you got to be ready at every single time. If I get a call tomorrow, hey, we got this multi-million dollar contract. We want you to take care of it. I have to be ready. I got to make sure my team is ready at all times. If I don't have all the players, I'm going to make sure that we are sustainable to handle that project, or we might professionally say, you know, currently at this time, we're unavailable, and we'll just kind of, you know, if they're going to want to work with us, they're going to work with us.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of saying no.
You can just say, hey, right now we're contracted on XX and X project. We would love to do a project for you at one point.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd love to kick ass for you.
Yeah.
Right, you know, kind of keeping that door open to a certain extent, right?
Yeah, you know, because people want to work. People work, you know, people pay to work with you guys.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But then at the same time, like, you know, not just you guys. Now there's other people, there's other players involved with your company. You know, you guys are like the limelight, but there's other players involved that bring their own
uniqueness
to the company. Sure. And it's not just, you know.
That's how a company is created.
Yeah, Trevor and Kale, you guys empower your guys' staff to be able to be their own.
Mm-hmm.
And and that's the same thing that, you know, I'm trying to do with my company. It's like, hey.
It takes a minute.
It takes a minute. Yeah. I can't just be walking through a trade show or whatever I'm at. Hey, you know what, Steve, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, well, you just seen my guy right there. If you didn't introduce yourself, hey, guy, what's going on, bro? Like, I remember I introduce yourself, make a presence for you. Make your own name.
Yeah.
Especially when you're in the upper management level, is you have to make a presence for yourself. You know, who you don't, you stick up your chest high enough where you're proud, but you're not
high
enough.
We've told people that too. We've said, dude, you know, people know about Easier Accounting, but maybe they don't know about Kaysen at Easier Accounting or Dallin at Easier, or Dave at Easier, you know, whoever it is. You want to be able to make, we're going to make a name for Easier Accounting in general, right?
Yeah.
But the idea is, can you make a name for yourself as an individual at Easier Accounting? So somebody doesn't say, hey, Steve, you need to work with Easier Accounting. They say, you need to work with Kaysen over there at Easier Accounting. Call him. And that's how you start making a name for yourself, when there's already a name behind it, which is Easier Accounting, right? But you got to do that in order to stand out and be able to perform at a high level. You're still somewhat new in the game. You're still new in the game. So what advice would you give an individual that's maybe still in their first 6 or 12 months in the game, since you're a couple years in now?
You know what? I say the best advice I could give somebody is just be very open-minded.
Mm.
Like, take in everything, you know, and then learn how to keep the stuff that's valuable to you. And that's going to be able to help you in your company. Everyone's company is different. The way you guys do things is different than the way I do things. And we talk to each other. I mean, we're open-minded. A lot of people are so judgmental nowadays. Like, hey, bro.
Yeah.
I don't want to know that shit. And I'm like, man, chill, man. Yeah. Everyone's human. Like, relax. Yeah. You know, let out some of that air. You know, you're good.
You might learn something.
You know, yeah, you might learn something from me, you know. But at the end of the day, is just be open-minded and take everything in. And then from that, is put yourself in front of people where you're going to be uncomfortable.
Mm.
Like, I was so, like, inspired by doing that, because I put myself in front of people that were a somebody.
Yeah.
And they're still somebody, you know. And they were like, hey, you know, how are you hanging out with him? I'll get calls from people that have been in the game for 15, 20 years. They're like, how do you get to talk to others? I just asked them a question. Yeah. Hey, what's up, man? How you doing? I heard you do such and such. Oh, yeah. And now they're buds. You know, because you cannot get anything if you cannot ask the question. Hey, how are you doing? What's up? My name is Steve. Has to start somewhere, right? Because that shows that, you know, like I was telling, I have like a 24-hour window. Like, I text people right away, but I have a 24-hour window of responding and talking to them. Hey, you know what? Are you available next week? Let's hook up. Because I just respect people's time.
Yeah.
I respect people's time, and I know they value my time, but I just want to be able to let people know that, you know, you stay open-minded, right? And you put people that you're going to learn from, or even people that you might think that they might not have nothing that you're going to learn from them, but you put them in front of you. Like, hey, talk about certain things. And those two things has been so beneficial to me. Like, people will call me like the networking, like, little whore, because I go everywhere, man. Like, you call me, I'm going to go. Yeah. You know, I'll figure things out and I'll work out schedules. Like, I used to make fun of my wife's family. So they used to do a calendar party for the whole year, bro, in December. So they'll plan out the whole year from birthdays, weddings, all that stuff, right? So now I have my wife. She's great. She's great at my schedule for my business. Okay, events I have to go. I'm going to things, projects wise. I have for the whole year. I have things going on to the whole year. You know, and I just pencil them in as they go. But I have to make presents on certain things, right? I have to make sure that they, and learning that once I learn how to prioritize my stuff and put myself in front of somebody, I'm going to go. Don't like, oh, you know what? Why are you going to that for? Why do you care? First of all, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, first of all, they ain't going to tap me in my face because they still think I'm Street Fighter Steve, you know, but I'm not no more, bro. Like, you know, it's a reputation that always goes, but then you learn and they're like, man, like Steve, you're soft, bro. Like, I was like, man, I do cry, man. I have $2 right off the bat, bro.
Let's just say this. When I was fighting, I was broke.
Hey, bro.
I ain't fighting no more,
man.
And I'm rich.
You know what I'm saying? You know, so.
I'm fighting a different game now, dude.
Yeah, but. Exactly. Yeah, and just really educating people, you know. And I was talking to another mentor named Susan. And you know, and I don't know if I told you the story. And it's crazy. I walked in. I met this lady, Susan. Great lady, man. She's probably like in her 70s, walked in, bro. It was hot. She was wearing a chinchilla coat on, bro. And I was just like,
and when you
pearls,
got it, you got it.
Pearls. And I was like, dang. And I was like, I'm in this room with some big wigs in this room. Like some people that make some government decisions on, you know, on the military side, logistics. And I'm in this room and through a mentor, hey, I want you to be a part of this. You know, and they, you know, I'm great and great for mentorship. And that's things very, very key, you know, and taking care of people. Like, just don't leave your neighbor behind, bro. Like, if I could take everybody with me that has the same mindset and wants to grow, take them with you.
Yeah, they gotta want it.
They wanna want it though.
Yeah, you can't drag them to success, kid.
I can't,
bro.
You know what I mean?
And the best thing you can do is just shine your light, be the example, and the people that really will want it will gravitate towards that. The people that don't want that will actually repel them. They'll go the opposite direction.
Yeah. So, but at the end of the day, man, be open minded, you know, and put yourself network and put yourself in people that you're gonna gravitate and learn from. I you know, every conversation that we have with each other, I learn something from you guys, man, and I appreciate the time, you know, for just inviting me in here, man.
We appreciate you coming in. We appreciate you joining the mastermind because not only will you grow from it, but I believe that you'll be a beacon of light helping other people grow too. Yeah. And that's really what it's all about. And I think that we've got a group that
we just want to create a badass community. You know what I mean? Like we're going to grow from it too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's awesome. Everybody. I think just everybody going into it with a growth mindset, open-minded, like you talked about.
Oh yeah, bro.
You know, we're all going to be better off at the end of this year for knowing each other and surrounding ourselves with each other. So guys, how do they reach out to you if they've got a question in the construction game, if they want to just say, hey, thanks for this information or whatever it is. If somebody just wants to reach out.
Yeah. If someone wants to reach out, I have, you know, my social media, I'm transitioning from some of my personal stuff into my but I have Try & Co Group Instagram and then on Facebook as well, Steve Pedroza. You know, my email address is spedroza@tryandco.com. So anybody have any questions, feel free to meet me there. You know, message me there. Also on my website, tryandco.group.com. And, you know, just, you know, shoot me a message, you know, and, you know, whatever I can help you out with.
Yeah, this guy's of high level in terms of service. So,
you know,
he's here to, you know, donate his time to a certain extent, right?
Oh,
if you have questions, you have concerns, or you're in the same game or whatever it is, if he connected with you in any way, shape, or form during the show, just reach out to him and show him a little bit of love. So
thank you.
Guys, other than that, kick ass. Have a good week, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
Thanks, fellas.
Peace.